time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, here we are. Oh boy, it seems like it's been forever since I've had this young gentleman on the air. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, I don't know. Let me check. Well, it looks pretty good.
Well, that's good.
Oh, my goodness. Just came in from the Tallgrass Trail, probably, or Morrow County.
Yep.
Hey, now, incidentally, the groundhog will make a showing this Sunday on the 2nd. And old Buckeye Chuck, you know, he's doing a good job of promoting wildlife, or at least groundhogs.
Oh, yeah. He's our most famous groundhog here in Ohio.
And I see that a lot of other states now are following us and having various things come out on the 2nd of February.
Yeah, I think I heard from Paul James when I was on his station, I think it's almost 26 states.
Yeah, and I read yesterday where PETA once Punxsutawney Phil replaced with a robot.
A robot?
Yeah, because, well, we've got to, you know, protect our groundhogs. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
When are they ever going to get down to Earth? Yeah, a robot for Punxsutawney Phil.
That wouldn't be the same.
And can you imagine a robot for Buckeye Chuck?
Oh, my.
Well, anyhow, James Anderson, it seems like it's been forever.
It has. I know with holidays and all, I know that kind of pushed things.
Boy, it sure did. I was thinking next year or this year. Well, it's next year. No, this year.
It's
January, yeah. We'll have to work around that this year so there's no gap in between all your appearances.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I notice on Facebook that's a tremendous interest now in birding in Marion County.
Yeah, it's really great to see that. You know, birding is a very popular, I guess you could call it sport or hobby or interest.
Yeah, hobby, yeah, at least.
But yet, a lot of people don't realize birding in the United States alone, I think, is almost about a $1 billion industry.
Is that right?
So, I mean, it brings in so much revenue. I mean, with people, traveling is probably the big expense.
Yes, that would be, yeah.
Because people travel all over, especially like McGee Marsh with a big birding weekend.
Oh, yeah, look. Here, Ed Lux moved up that way.
Yes, he was smart.
To put him close to McGee Marsh.
Yes, because, boy, I've heard people saying that hotel prices double during that week.
Oh, I bet, so. Yeah. To see the migrating birds coming down. Where the migrating, are they coming down from Canada?
There's actually some that are coming up. They're going up into Canada, and then some kind of coming down.
Wow.
So, but it's a lot of the warbler species.
Okay, yeah. Well, I never knew there were that many varieties out the the Tallgrass Trail area. I'm seeing all kinds of birds mentioned out there.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of local birders, photographers, and I mean they're willing to share their work. And because I love showing, you know, all the diversity. I mean that's out there.
Yes, all the by land. Yeah, it's really developed here. The interest, especially. And, boy, the people with interest in birds are going to discover a lot more birds or names and sightings of birds than ever before.
That's right, because you've got to think about it. Birding was probably just for, you know, an older generation.
Yeah, like me.
Or old lady, you know, of hobby. But, yeah, no.
I can see the old-timers with their binoculars.
Yeah.
I once was on Black Hand Gorge in east of Newark. And because Black Hand Gorge is a famous place, and I was bicycling through there, and here's this real old couple, not as old as me, but they had binoculars. And I stopped. I said, "What on earth are you looking for?" Cerulean warblers.
Oh, yeah, they're a pretty bird.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen one, but...
I did when I was at Hocking College.
Really? No kidding.
But when I had to take ornithology.
Well, yeah. Now, I see there's people are seeing a lot of birds I never knew existed out in the Tall Grass Trail area, and I'm glad to see. Maybe the more people that get involved in birding, the more varieties you're going to see.
Yeah, and we've actually kind of noticed that last year, that, you know, with the photographers taking pictures, it encouraged people, hey, let's go out, let's go try to find birds, and especially like the bald eagles. I mean, yes, eagles are
diamond dozen anymore.
Yeah, but you know, I still get people that they're like, "Hey, where's the best spot to find the eagles?" And you know, I give a couple locations, and you know, usually a couple good times. But I always say I can't guarantee they'll be out there. But I said that it's kind of the luck of the draw.
Yeah, great, boy. So that has become a great part of since you came to the area. A great part of the great outdoors and the and stimulating the interest of a lot of people that never would have even noticed.
Yeah, that's my. I have hopefully my job to not only just adults but get kids out there too.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, now let's get to a subject that came up recently on Facebook, and that's the bobcat.
Oh yes, the bobcat.
Oh, are we able to go outdoors at night without being attacked?
Oh, you sure will. So, but yeah, no, this is a very exciting time in Marion County. So I can't make the official confirmation. Only ODNR can do that. But
yeah,
someone found a trail camera, probably for deer, turkey, something game species. And sure enough, a bobcat came by. And it was near the Morrow-Marion border. And, you know, these animals were very common in the state of Ohio a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess around 1800, they were almost predominant as far as wildlife goes.
Yes. But then when we humans were moving into Ohio, we're making settlements, farms.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a farmer and that's your livelihood and you got predators like bobcats.
And chickens,
yep. If you got predators like bobcats and wolves and mountain lions and bears, well, what are you going to do?
Well, that's right.
Yeah, you're going to kill them all.
And same with foxes. Foxes and the chicken house. What was the old saying? It's I'm talking about how fox raided chicken coops and killed chickens, and that was a big loss for a farmer.
Yeah. But yeah, they were kicked out of the state of Ohio by the 1850s. This word is called extirpated, which means local extinction.
Oh.
So luckily, their species or their kind existed in other parts of the world, and mainly around West Virginia. And actually, since 1969, they were put on our endangered species list, our first animal to be put on the state endangered species list.
Wow.
And slowly, they've been able to repopulate, mainly in southeastern Ohio. Well, the problem is where these animals, they keep, again, populating in a little area, but bobcats have a very big home range. For males, their home range could be over 30 miles, and you got females who are about 5 to 10. Well, you got these adults, and they're trying to push out the juveniles. Well, what are the juveniles supposed to do? Uh-huh. They either have to either fight off or move or, unfortunately, have to pass away. So,
and all this is going on while we conduct our daily lives.
That's right. So they kind of spill over into other areas, and they are expanding eastward. There was few reports in Crawford and Morrow County. 2017, there was a roadkill sighting on Iberia Road.
On Iberia Road. I drive that road every now and then.
Yeah, so I mean to say that, you know, in Marion County, it's pretty special. So,
but But back in 1800, they were all over the place.
That's right. So, but Hocking Hills, they're very thick down there.
Oh,
so,
are they?
So if you go to like Hocking Hills State Park, that would be very common to see a bobcat.
Wow, good.
But no, we don't have to be afraid of them. They're more afraid of us than we're afraid of them.
I can imagine if we made a move toward them, they might run.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, of course, if it's a mom with her kittens, I mean, she's going to defend
that.
Or if you corner the bobcat, I mean, of course, it's going to defend himself. But it's not fair to lurk around and attack you. So I wish we used the word more exciting sighting. So,
yeah, right. Exciting instead of danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember that, folks. You don't worry about bobcats. They were once a big part of us and still becoming a big part, and you're perfectly safe.
That's right. I mean, coyotes, I mean, there's more attacks to humans than there is bobcats.
That's right. And now, coyote and bobcat has a similar diet, do they?
Yeah. They're both carnivores. I mean, they both eat rabbits, squirrels, mice, things like that.
Well, there's a lot of feral cats out there. Would they put up a battle with a coyote, a feral cat?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of reports of coyotes eating, feral cats.
Wow. What's the danger of a human being bitten by one of these feral cats?
By a feral cat? I mean, again, I think the feral cats, it's kind of slim because most time they see you, they're off.
Yeah, they disappear, yeah.
Unless you corner them. I mean, I think that'd be the only way you would get attacked.
And for people that don't know, a feral cat is more like a domestic cat out on its own.
That's right. It's gone wild.
And and in the search for food, especially.
Yeah.
Mice and whatever is its appetite. So, feral cats, they might be more of a problem than the bobcat. 100% more.
Yeah,
and that's the way it is. And you've got a lot of programs out at the Tallgrass Trail, too, don't you? I mean, we talked about birding out there and the animals, but what do you do about other activities?
So, of course, we offer our nature programs for kids, adults, and seniors, and then we go to different facilities. I've been to a few nursing homes just the other day.
Really?
I did a program for the Boy Scouts, and last week I did another program for another scout troop. So, try to keep busy.
What do you do with them?
So for the scouts, sometimes they have specific subjects they need me to cover because they have to get certain requirements.
Oh, for a badge.
For a badge or patch.
Yeah.
So like the one last week, I had to talk about endangered species, flyways, and then the one I added was Wildlife Tracking 101. The one on Monday or Tuesday, I talked about mammals of Ohio and wildlife tracking.
Well, good. And at nursing homes, what do you do?
So I usually pick a program for the whole month. So this month was about weasels in North America. And next month, it'll be groundhogs since, groundhogs are all famous for February. So.
Yeah.
So I got about two or three scheduled so far.
Okay, we'll talk about the groundhog here in a few moments. But, hey, right now, in between everything, I want to give away this Ridgedale. Maybe you'll be there. The 18th annual Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction, Saturday, February 15th. That's about 2 weeks away yet. And dinner at 5, auction following that. And it's sure looking good. Chicken dinner prepared by Country Caterers. Okay, now, what do you have to do to get this ticket? We could buy one. You could stop at Marion Auto Sales. I'm thinking of the one right next to or across from Tim Hortons. I think that's Marion Auto Sales.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You could buy a ticket there from one of the guys. Or you could, let's see. It says, where does it say here? Oh, they want you to bring in a pair of old eyeglasses because they cater to those needing glasses. Okay, well, anyhow, all right. Now, this ticket, if you answer this question, I'll give you this ticket. Now, you've all been to the eye doctor, haven't you? Many times during your lifetime. And that chart that you have to look at and repeat, if you can, what is listed on it. That chart has a name. It's not just an eye chart. It's actually named, I might be after the inventor. If you can tell me the name of that eye chart, why, I'll give you that Ridgedale ticket. Oh, and that's the way it goes, James. But, yeah, that chart, and you know, you know what it's like sitting in their chair and trying to read what that chart says.
Yeah.
And I think they all have the same letters.
Yeah, I think I remember in grade school, I remember we all tried to memorize it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it starts maybe with the letter E way up on top.
Yeah.
Big letter E.
I guess I didn't realize it had an official name. Just always called it an eye chart.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering, too. I looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah. It has a name.
All right.
Okay, and if you could give me that name, 7403-39944. And in just a moment, too, we're going to be talking with James about the groundhog and the activities over the weekend. Buckeye Chuck is going to make a couple of appearances, one in Marion County, one in Morrow County, right?
I'm not sure about Morrow County, but we're trying to work out the details.
So. Yeah, okay. And last year, I know I went over there, and we had the groundhog. I'll be over there again this year, and... Yeah, James will work out the... And we invite everybody. Now, out there in Morrow County, the activities area is one road east or north of the... or on the other side of the sheriff's office, right?
Yeah, it's right behind the sheriff's office, right off 42. It's called Headwaters Outdoor Educational Center.
Yeah, okay. Well, what... Do you purchase? Well, no, you're not hired to work there.
No. I partner with them a lot.
Sure,
so even before I was here with the Park District, I partnered
know,
with
Scott,
them.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with James. I was going to say James Audubon.
Oh, boy. Well, you must be pretty special if you have James Audubon.
Yeah, I've got two of his books.
Oh, yeah?
Those great big books
that
he painted all the birds.
Boy, those original ones, I mean, they were worth millions, I probably.
Yes, right. And I've got two, and one is more recent. I got one that's rather old. But
I think they revise it every once in a while.
I think so.
I've seen them at Ollie's on sale.
Oh, kidding!
I think I got one for Christmas.
Yeah.
One year.
Okay. Yeah, they're kind of big and heavy.
Yeah.
But James Audubon was quite an artist.
Oh, he was. The fun story was that when he first arrived to North America, he when he got off his boat, he hung up his rifle and he shot a woodpecker.
Oh boy!
For his first specimen.
For his first. Well, he shot a lot of... Is that the way he got all those birds?
Maybe some, yeah. But I'm not sure of all of them. But I guess you got to remember that time there were no pictures. So if you really wanted a close-up of the picture of the bird, you had to kill it,
apparently. Take a dead one.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how he had to fluff them up and doctor them up a little bit to take their picture or to draw there.
And you got to remember there was no kind of way to preserve them, so he only had so much probably time to paint them or they'd be decomposed.
Right. And most of the bird titles, I think, still are the same, more or less?
I think for the most of them, yeah. Now, of course, Science always likes to change things up.
Oh, sure, yeah, so that they appear to be the source. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, now, I was going to ask you, too, One of my favorite birds has always been the pileated woodpecker.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful.
Now, do you have some out there on the big tall grass trail?
Not much tall grass trail. I mean, if they were, they'd be around like the Epsifil section because it's more wooded. But yeah. Paradise Nature's Preserve right by your house, we see and hear them all the time since, wow. You know, it's very...
They're loud.
Yeah, they're loud.
One, they're a hammer. When they're hammering a tree, they're loud, and when they squawk, they're loud.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. That hammering, it's called drumming.
Drumming, yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually how they attract their mates and their territorial
calls. Oh, is that right? It's not scaring the bugs out of the tree to eat?
Well, I mean, they do that, too. But
the bugs come out and say, "Would you stop that?"
Yeah, woodpeckers are pretty interesting. They have that furry, their beaks are actually kind of double layered, and that's how it's actually not able to break.
Oh, is that right?
And then they have a special bone kind of right in the middle of their nostril, which absorbs the shock.
Really?
It's very coarser. It's kind of more, it's very spongy, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, so the shock waves can kind of disperse out instead of concentrating at one
interesting.
Area.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I had a call once from a family. He said, "Would you come down to our house and tell us what these holes are in our garage?"
Oh, yes.
And I did, yes, and the woodpecker had chewed or pecked holes all over their garage, their wooden garage.
I was just about to ask, yep.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at that.
Boy, oh boy. Okay, let's go to the groundhog.
Yeah.
And you brought a...
I brought groundhog and actually a couple squirrels.
Yeah, so right. The groundhog is deceased, by the way.
Yes.
He met his everlasting some time ago and is very well stuffed.
Yes. Sometimes I tease with people because when I ask who's our famous groundhog and I say, "Oh, Buckeye Chuck." And I say, "Well, this is not the Buckeye Chuck." Or sometimes I'll say, "Well, sometimes this could be." I say, "He made a bad call one winter." So.
Yeah, right. Now, the groundhog you've got here, does he have teeth that's visible?
No, this one, yep, they took the skull
out. Oh, okay, so. Yeah. Okay. It kind of squint-eyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there a taxidermist around that can do this work around this area?
I think there are some local taxidermists, but this one actually came from OSU, so they donated a few groundhog pelts. And this one and my other ones are from the 60s, so they're pretty old.
Yeah. Now, no one ever wore a groundhog coat?
No.
Okay.
No, their fur is very coarse, so it's not very soft like the other guys. Because their fur is kind of, it's like an umbrella, so when the dirt hits their fur, it just pushes on.
Oh, really?
Because that's important, because if you're going to live underneath the ground, you're going to have that
that's right.
special fur, because if not, it would stick, and then next thing you know, they wouldn't survive very well underground.
Yes, right.
Badgers have this kind of same fur style.
And now going to the groundhog when in the fall, what does it have to be like in the fall before they go underground?
So, I mean, temperatures have to be, you know, close to you know, freezing. I would say, you know, below 40 or so.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's got to stay that day at night. And, of course, when food is kind of natural food is starting to disperse, groundhogs are like, okay, I'm spending all this energy trying to find food. It's getting colder. Let's go hibernate.
Yeah.
So depending on how weather goes, typically about late October, early November is when they start to hibernate.
Does he accumulate fat for that purpose?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll gain about, what do they say, about half of their body weight, and then they'll lose it after they come out of hibernation.
Yeah. Now, it's kind of interesting to me. When I was a kid, about 1946, my dad came home from the Navy and bought me a rifle. And we would go out hunting groundhogs.
Oh, okay.
And I shot my share of groundhogs.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I've got a picture of me holding one.
Okay.
Deceased. But, yeah, those days, we used to walk down the railroad tracks for that. Now, I don't think it'd be a good idea.
No, probably not today for going on a railroad track.
That's right. And so groundhogs can either be good or bad. The bad part is when they tunnel underground, I know there have been tractors that have overturned, haven't they?
I have heard that. Horses, when they're running through the field, and cows, they'll break their legs.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, they are a nuisance towards farmers. But for the ecosystem, they're very important because those burrows, which is, you know, the underground home, They make rooms which are called chambers, and different chambers have different functions. And some groundhound burrows, I mean, they've had up to a dozen or more chambers.
Really?
And so obviously the groundhog's not going to use every chamber. He's only going to use one.
Mm-hmm.
But other animals, snakes, foxes,
really?
Chipmunks. So if you think about it, without a groundhog, a lot of these other animals would not have a home.
Yeah. I wonder if they ever say thanks.
Yeah. Well, then the badger, a lot of times badgers don't make their own hole. They'll actually go into a groundhog.
Oh, really?
After he does all the hard work, kill the groundhog, and then the badger makes it bigger for himself.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the badger has those stripes down his forehead.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, that's actually where the name came from, the patches of the badges on his face.
Ah, okay. Yep. But you won't find any around here, will you?
There's been some reports I've heard, but not recently. But a lot in northwestern Ohio, there's been some reports
okay,
of badgers.
Yeah. Now, a badger, are they aggressive?
Oh, yes, they're very aggressive.
Really?
When I was doing some birding with a friend of mine in Kentucky, and I'll admit, this was my stupidity. I was young and dumb. So we were birding. We saw this little head stick up. And we're like, oh, that looks like a groundhog.
Oh.
I said, well, let's get a little closer. Well, then I was like, no, that's a badger. Oh, let's get closer. Well, the next thing I know, this badger, he pops out of his hole, and he kind of chased us for a little bit, and we quickly turned around.
Oh, my.
So we definitely learned not to invade his territory.
That's right. So. Now, Michigan has more badgers, don't they?
Yeah, definitely out west they have more.
And what's a badger and a wolverine? What's their difference?
So wolverines are primarily up in like in the tundra area of the Canada.
Way up.
Yeah, way up there. Now, there are some in like in the Dakotas, Alaska, state of Washington.
Yeah.
There's, I guess, was one report spotted in Michigan several years ago.
Yeah.
But wolverines, they really like... they really like really cold areas. They actually can overheat sometimes, I guess I heard. So they really like cold conditions.
Yeah.
Versus badgers are more of that fast grassland open areas.
Okay, so I take it if you're ever in the area of tundra, which would be several hundred miles from here.
Yeah.
In fact, a long way from here. Would they be aggressive?
Oh, yeah, they probably would be.
Okay. But in the meantime, we'll go back to the groundhog, who's not aggressive at all, unless you tantalize it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Like a stick of carrot in its cage.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, we talked about when the groundhog disappears in its den. Oh, by the way, I keep asking the question. Well, here's a caller. The eye chart. Yes, caller, go ahead.
If you really want to see something about a wolverine, is to see a bear, a grizzly bear, back away from a wolverine.
Really?
I see.
Marty Stauffer, I think it was, had some film about that.
Yeah, I saw that. Wolverines can be very aggressive.
I mean, when you know, even though a grizzly bear is that big, that grizzly bear can't afford to lose its nose or its eyes.
Yeah.
And those wolverines... That's a good quick way to lose your livelihood or your ability to, you know, survive.
Yep.
Interesting, yes.
So, why did you have to bring up wolverines?
I don't... You mean the Michigan Wolverines?
That's right. Our arch rivals.
Yeah, okay.
So, hey, interesting show.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, Terry.
Now, okay, back to the groundhog. Now, and I'm an expert at this. I would crawl on my hands and knees following the groundhog when he emerged. He would suddenly go disappear down another hole. And I thought, well, hey, I thought groundhogs come out in the springtime and that's it. But in this case, what does a groundhog do when it comes out?
So during the kind of February time, we could possibly see some groundhogs, all depending on weather. But it's typically adult males. He kind of goes out and he pinpoints the hibernating females. Now, he doesn't breed with them.
Oh, is that right?
But he just kind of say, okay, here's a female, there's a female.
Really?
Then if there's any sleeping males, he'll say, okay, I want to stay away from here. I want to go over here.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of creates a mental map.
Wow.
And so kind of late February, early March, when everybody comes out of hibernation, he's able to kind of create, again, use that map and kind of avoids predation because he's not always constantly looking.
So he remembers where he saw a gestating female?
Yes, yeah.
Interesting.
So it's an interesting strategy that they do that. So.
Really? Now, how much does an average groundhog weigh?
That they weigh, it's probably about, I would say, between 5 to 10 pounds.
Okay. It depends on what time of the year, too. And
yeah, if you go in the fall time, I mean, when they're really fat, I mean, you may go up to maybe 12, 15, so.
Yeah, interesting. And so now do they have to, I've seen them dig already, but do every year, do they have to dig their den again, or do they use one that?
They'll use the same one over and over. Now, okay. unless they feel stressed, or if they're not finding food or what, then I'm like, okay, let's move on to another area. But as long as they're finding food, as long as if you know they're feeling comfortable, they're like, okay, we're gonna stay in this area.
Yeah. Now where Buckeye Chuck, that whole thing originated. I guess I mentioned I used to watch when they come out of their den in the springtime. In fact, I even put a flag with a white flag up on a cane pole in front of their den, forgetting that they don't necessarily come out of that den. It might be one of half a block away.
They do. They have multiple exit and entrance holes,
yes,
because it's important, especially if they're out there eating and if a predator is around, then you're like, okay, let's go in here.
And the original Buckeye Chuck came from a brickyard next to the radio station there on North Main. And that area was full of bricks, and it eventually was leveled to make room for that television station.
Okay.
And so Buckeye Chuck's den is long gone.
Oh.
But what I used to do, I would tie a rope, because it was on a hillside full of bricks, I would tie a rope on the nearest tree and invite people to pull themselves up the hill on the rope to see the groundhog.
Oh, wow.
Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, back again with James Anderson. James is the man who heads the Marion County Park District and puts on programs and is a graduate. Now, you're a graduate of what is your title?
My job position is a park naturalist, but I graduated from Hocking College in wildlife management and then University of Rio Grande in conservation wildlife management.
Wow. So you've been through the mill.
Yes.
Okay, and you must find it interesting, though, even though you've gone over subjects so many times, wildlife isn't mighty interesting.
Oh, it is.
Habits.
And you can always learn something new.
Yeah, right.
This stuff I thought I knew, and then either I've experienced myself or I learned from someone else, and I didn't know that.
Now, the Tallgrass Trail is located on the Holland Road at the south end of the Marion Waterworks, really.
Yeah, we're neighbors of Whirlpool.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
The big turbines.
Yep, and then ends at the Harding County line.
You know, east or west of, I don't know how far west, but there's going to be 74 of those wind generators.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over in the Harding County area.
Okay.
Yeah, not too far away.
Yeah, okay.
And the Tallgrass Trail, runs 12 miles?
Yes, to the Harding County line.
Ends in Harding County. What now? The end of the tall grass trail is marked by what? A blank wall, or
it's a little hill right now. We got some trees, and then we have these. You see them around roads. They're diamonds. And our joke is when you reach to the end, you can take a picture and you can become part of the Diamond Club.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen that on the Facebook.
Yeah. And if you angle your camera right, you can have the diamonds look like you're wearing them on your ears.
Oh.
So we've had a couple people have done
okay.
that.
But there's been no activity or little activity from Hardin County?
Yeah, unfortunately, as of right now, Hardin County's not for it. So we're hoping one day.
And if reality came to be, that trail could go clear through Hardin County, couldn't it?
That's right. It could end right by Lima.
Okay. Oh, clear over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And every day, there used to be a train from Marion that went that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy. There used to be a train, too, that went down to Dayton. They called it the Dayton Run or something like that.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was used that the area that's now tall grass or whether there was another.
I'm not sure. All I know is
railroads around.
All I know it was part of the Erie Lackawanna. So.
Yes, right. EL Erie Lackawanna. And originally it was the Erie.
The Erie, okay.
Just the Erie, and then they took over the Delaware Lackawanna, I think it was, and became both, and. And that didn't prove out for survival.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only several railroads that are really profitable or active in Ohio and elsewhere. Norfolk and Southern is a big one.
Okay.
And then you go out west, and that's the, what do they call it, the Burlington Northern something.
Okay.
And that's big, yeah. Okay, but... No more trains on the track there at Wellness.
Nope.
Here.
There's not.
That's right. Now, it's 10:48, incidentally, is the time. And still, I ask that question. If you can name the eye chart, it has a name to it, of your friendly optometrist. Why, if you can tell me the inventor of that eye chart, and there was an inventor... Why, I'll give you that ticket to the Ridgehill Lions Club. Oh, boy. Okay, now, let me see. Hikes. There are a lot of hikes that you're putting on, aren't there?
Yep, our winter hike series.
How are people standing up to the cold?
Well, it's kind of funny. Our polar hike, we call it a polar hike, but that was when it was almost 70 degrees. And we had about 25 people that participated.
Is that right?
We actually had a few families from Delaware County, and... it was actually kind of interesting because we actually saw a couple garter snakes on the trail and heard about four different species of frogs. And I'm like, no, you should be hibernating. You should be out right now.
Well, wait till next week with a high of 50 degrees Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
Wow.
And I've mentioned this on your show before that, you know, we may like it, but it's when we keep fluctuating back and forth.
Oh,
back
bad.
It really hurts certain wildlife, especially reptiles, amphibians, and then wildflowers especially.
For sure. And humans now, I see where they're closing more schools in part of Ohio because of the flu or colds or whatever.
Yeah, so Monday Pleasant was didn't have school.
This is the worst kind of weather for health when you have the freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing.
Yeah.
Every time this happens, we have a lot of disease going around.
Seems like it.
Yeah, it's a shame. 10:50 is the time, and... boy, there's so many things going on at the Tall Grass Trail. I'm just amazing. Now, if you bring up Facebook, you can, scroll through Facebook and see a lot of pictures.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've got how many people with really good cameras?
I say we have about five.
Really?
Five regulars that constantly take pictures and give them to or let us borrow them, I should say. So.
Yeah, now, have they discovered any... bird or mammal, well, mainly birds, that are not normally spotted by everybody this time of the year?
I mean, like the snowy owl, not yet in Marion, but the snowy owl's been in Upper Sandusky region.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of an abnormality.
Oh, that is. The last one I saw was on a guardrail there at Big Island Wildlife area, and I think somebody saw one close to there this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So why does a snowy owl come down here?
So snowy owls are really interesting. So they're common up in the Arctic tundra as well.
They're all white, aren't they?
Well, they're primarily all white. Sometimes they'll have little speckles or what. The males will have a lot of black on their chests. Okay. Females are more of the white color.
Mm-hmm.
So they're what's called a facultative migrator. So that means that you only migrate if food is low. So they primarily eat what are called lemmings, which are basically giant mice up in the tundra. So when the lemming population's high, that means food's more available, so that means you can stay. Well, when the population is down, then that means that, hey, we got to do something or we're going to die. So we got to migrate.
Uh-huh. So, now, wouldn't it be interesting to see one flying around the Big Island Wildlife Area looking for food?
Yeah, and that would be a very common area, I would say, since Big Island's very open.
Right.
That would be very similar habitat.
Now, do you have any connection with, I'm sure you do, with the killdeer area?
Yeah, you can find some there in killdeer. So that's been very active lately with the trumpeter swans.
Really?
Ducks. Oh, yeah. A lot of my friends, a lot of times they'll start in killdeer, and then they'll go to the Big Island taking pictures. And, they've got some beautiful pictures.
I've seen some. Now, tell me again, the upright necks are, in contrast to the S-shaped neck, tell me the difference between the two.
Oh, are you talking about the swans?
Yeah.
Okay, so tundra and trumpeter both have the straight necks.
Okay.
And they have the black bills. Now, the tundra swan will have this little yellow teardrop around its eye, and that's how you can distinguish between trumpeter and tundra. Now, swans, which are not native to Ohio.
Right.
Now, they have the more of that S-shaped neck.
Oh,
and
really?
They have the orange beak, and they have this big old weird knob on top of their head. I call it the mute button because they really don't make a sound. They make little hisses and grunts.
Yeah.
So that's our joke. That's why they're called the mute swan.
But yet you've probably not seen any mute swans around here?
Luckily, yes, because we don't want mute swans because swans are very aggressive towards the native swans.
Really?
And other parts of Ohio, especially up by Lake Erie, they're considered really invasive.
Well, we ought to send some among the Canada geese.
Yeah, that's right.
What are we going to do with all these Canada geese?
Well, there's not really much we can do since
they're protected, aren't they?
Yep, they are protected.
Is there a hunting season for them?
No, there is. Yeah, now there are hunt, but when you got ones like there at Tri Rivers and Myers,
you couldn't shoot around there.
Yeah, and are you noticing them? A lot of them pairing up.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Right now they're kind of pairing up right now.
And don't get near my partner.
And then about late February, early March, they'll start. Uh-huh. Some of them will start mating, making nests, and then some of them usually about late March will make more nests. And boy, they even like each other. And you notice they have their own little specific space.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
I've sometimes, if no one's behind me, I'll drive really slow, and I'll see them fly at each other and fight each other. So
yeah,
it's
every
kind of funny.
Every year, when I was bicycling over at the trail over at Mount Vernon, every year there was a female nesting on the bank of a little creek alongside the bike trail.
Yeah.
Every year you go by and she'd look up at you and say, just stay right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting about what geese will do first before they'll attack. What they'll do is they'll lower their necks down.
And I've seen that.
Because what they're trying to do, they're trying to blend in and they're trying to see if, hey, you don't see me kind of deal.
Oh.
And they'll stay really stiff and they'll be really quiet. And boy, when you get really close, then they're like, okay, get away.
You know, and the interesting thing I told you before, I saw at Mount Gilead State Park, I saw a Canada geese, flip a boy, grabbed a hold of him and flipped him upside down.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, it was a young, very small.
Yeah.
But it scared that kid to death, I bet.
Well, it's kind of crazy you said that. I don't know what year it has happened, but there was a report of a mute swan killing a person.
Oh, really?
Kind of similar to what you just said. Yeah. It was around the Chicago area. There was a person on their canoe or kayak.
Yeah.
They got really close to this swan. The swan flipped the guy over, and then as the guy kept trying to get up, the swan kept pecking his head.
Oh.
Well, of course, then the guy drowned to death.
So it
shows that mute swans are a little aggressive.
I guess so. And they, in contrast to the other geese, they don't make a sound then.
Yeah, they have just little hisses and grunts.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Watch out for the hiss.
Yes. And I've only seen a couple, out of the 5 years I've worked for the park district, I've only seen a couple mute swans at our lake, so thank goodness.
Yeah,
Okay. You come out to the lake, you'll see a lot of trumpeter swans.
But again, the difference between the crooked neck and the straight neck is not the neck so much, it's the beak.
Yeah, color of the beak, yep. Okay. The mute swan will have orange, and the other two will have black beaks.
Okay, if you can get that close to... That's where binoculars come in.
That's right, yes.
I bought a pair of Audubon binoculars some years ago, and then I got to the point where I couldn't get out anymore, so I've got good binoculars.
Oh, you do? Well, you could do some birding in your backyard.
Well, I could. I do. We have a feeder.
Okay.
Oh, my land. I have white-breasted nuthatches.
Oh, yeah?
Always. And
well, you got a lot of trees in your area, so definitely a lot of woodpeckers I can see.
And the woodpeckers are everywhere, yeah. And junk... I haven't seen any juncos to speak of this year.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, boy, we see them all the
time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I keep looking for them. Every year, there have been juncos all over our backyard.
Put some seed on the ground. They're not more...
Yeah, ground feeders, yeah.
Yeah, they're ground feeders. They're not much like your birds feeders that you buy.
I'm really surprised that the sparrows are eating the sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah, they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah, boy, our back porch is littered with sunflower seed shells.
Yeah.
And, we're feeding the birds, making them survive.
That's right. Yeah. Are you having any squirrel issues?
No, we've not seen a squirrel. Not one.
Okay, really? And again, you're right by the woods, so I figure you would have some squirrels.
Yeah, you would think so. And that great big woods behind us. Now, at night... Occasionally, our dogs will start barking, and I often wonder what they're barking at. But I hope it's not a human. But there are so many things that could come out of the woods, whether it's deer, possum, or whatever.
Here soon, they're going to be hearing owls. It's owls breeding season.
Really?
For most of them.
No kidding.
Yep.
We've had a possum in our barn from time to time. What do possums like to eat?
Oh, they eat all kinds. They're omnivores. They'll eat anything. They'll eat from bugs to apples to small critters, and of course, people food.
Yeah.
But during the summertime, they're great to have around because they love eating ticks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can eat up to 5,000 ticks.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to break now, and still I haven't found the... originator of the iChart.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary talk show host Larry King,